Hello, welcome to GQHQPQ. My name is Scott.
I'm Gus.
Woof. I'm Louis. Hello.
We talked about crofts just earlier, and that's where that came from.
Crofts.
Context.
Which I get sent, I get suggested a lot of content from crofts now. A lot from the dog agility stuff.
Oh.
You know, the dogs going around the speed courses as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, what I don't get suggested is like the really, really good dogs who are like classed it. Well, I do get suggested that. Why I get suggested is the dogs that are like tiny and doing it in the really small weight classes and things like that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of as if they know the things I like on Instagram are for dogs that aren't maybe the best.
Yeah. Is that what you're training Bernie up for?
I mean, I think it's what I'm being forced to train Bernie to be. Right. He's a great dog, but he's not exactly, you know. Although he's learned fetch now, which I couldn't be more proud as a dog owner.
That's good.
And the worst thing is, just when I've taught him fetch, like, have you had family dogs?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all this like dog psychology and things you should do for dogs, shouldn't, and you know, and I'm sure it's the same with like kids. And I'm sure it's the same. Always, you know, taking care of anything, everyone will have an opinion about like how you should do it and what's really bad for them and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So the thing that's just come out recently, or someone told us recently, you shouldn't play fetch with dogs. Gets them obsessed with it. It's like, I just taught Bernie after like 2 years of having him how to play fetch, and he so loves it. And now someone's like, you shouldn't play fetch with dogs because they're obsessed with, it makes them obsessed with everything. It's like, Bernie's obsessed with everything already.
Impossible to throw anything away.
Yeah, it is. Bernie would run and get it. But then now it's the joy of him bringing it back and being excited about it being thrown again, as opposed to what he used to do was, I'm going to destroy this because it's in my mouth.
Thrown it once and that's enough.
That's it, literally. That would be him. I'm sure there was one time I came into the office after having to have been at the park for about an hour and a half because he got a football from, like, and then he shredded it for an hour and a half. And every time I go close and just run away, it's like, cool.
Sorry about your ball.
Yeah, those poor guys.
Thankfully, it wasn't. Well, it was just laying there. I think it had already popped, but it was.
Different dog.
It was a pretty of a shame. People saw him doing it. He just looked like the most feral dog ever see.
Are there different categories in crofts?
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Oh, I've never seen it.
I watched the. There's a documentary. Is it called? There's one on the one in America that's a huge deal. It's called. Since like, is it not in New York somewhere?
Nathan's hot dogs.
Stop it. There's a big one. It's called like the Westwood Club or something like that, or the Winwood something. Like, there's one that's in America. It's the Crofts of America, and there was a documentary about that, and I quite enjoyed it. It's called 6 Days to Air or something. No, that's the South Park one.
South Park.
It's called 7 Days to Live or something. It's about big events and what goes in behind the scenes to make them happen. And one was about this dog show, and it was really interesting because people are. My favorite bit of that was they had areas where the dogs go to the bathroom inside. That was like, but they were like astroturfed little like cages. It's like Bernie would never go in there. Like Bernie would never go
to the zone.
A pee or a poo in that area. Bernie has to walk at least a kilometer to have a poo. Just to let you all know.
Destroy one football.
Okay, interesting.
He has to. We have to do like a loop around the courtyard
just to make sure
you've looked after Bernie before.
Yeah, but never really taken him for big walks.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah,
yeah,
he's a joy. Haven't I just painting him to be the best dog ever?
Absolutely.
He is a great dog, don't get me wrong. I really, really love him, but you know, he's just an idiot.
You can say what you want.
What everyone think? I think everyone thinks they'll level their own dog's an idiot.
Well,
because you get to see all the stupid stuff they do. Like everyone else gets to see them either being a maniac at the door when they enter and they're like, oh, your dog's a maniac, or just being really chilled and super, it's like, no, he's not always like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, yeah, you're allowed to say it, so.
Yeah. How's your weekend been?
I'm doing a lot of cleaning, tidying.
Cleaning?
Yes. I'm in between flatmates, so I'm using the time and the space to get rid of a lot of my shit. Marie Kondo.
Nice. Are you walking a kilometer before you?
I am.
Get rid of your shit.
Yeah. Every time I go to toss something, Bernie brings it back. It's really annoying.
So. Yeah, I wondered where he's been.
But otherwise, yeah, fine.
Ah, that's exciting.
That, actually, tell you what, that is a good way of getting rid of shit, is having a dog in the house. As soon as anything's anywhere that it shouldn't, like, it probably shouldn't be, like, on the ground or whatever, or just doing nothing, he will.
Destroyed.
He will be in and about it, and you realize, it's dust. I need to put that somewhere that's not there. So, yeah.
Maybe that's the next step. Get a dog.
Maybe that's what we could rent out Bernie to do. We could rent him out to help people clean their house, to be like, could he get this? Well, you shouldn't have it there.
Like when people crawl along the ground before they like baby-proof things.
Oh, right. Sorry. I just did not know where that was going.
Pretending to be a dog.
Yeah, yeah. I was seeing the service that Bernie would do this.
Yeah.
For a prototype.
Yeah. And Louis, your weekend?
Wet. It was pretty wet.
Were you cycling?
No. Just in general, it was wet.
Oh, right.
around Edinburgh.
Yes.
Didn't do anything. Watch people abseil.
Oh,
from the bridge?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I saw something about that.
Do you have like a telescope or binoculars for it?
No, I'm just sitting in the front room.
Oh, all right.
Watched the train went past.
While they were up?
Yeah, quite a few times, the Flying Scotsman.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Big weekend for bridge watchers.
Just to put this in perspective, that Louis lives right beside the Forth Rail Bridge.
Doxed.
Wow.
Well, sorry, it feels weird. Someone just saying, I watch people abseil, and it's like...
Ah, I'm sure there's plenty of people around.
I mean,
it's a spectacle.
You can't abseil secretly.
Not there, anyway.
I think it's quite hard to...
Private abseil.
Have you done abseiling?
Not really. I did like a rock climb and then sort of come back down when I was younger.
Mm. That's kind of abseiling.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. So, but not like, I'm going to start at the top and go down. Not that.
Okay, Drake.
Yeah.
I had a sort of boss when I was in New Zealand, and he was like really outdoorsy. He loved to be outdoorsy. But he was trying to get his abseiling qualification. So he said to me, and I'm not an outdoorsy person. I'm happy to say this. I'm not a camping person. I'm not an outdoorsy person. It's just not who I am. And I like comfort. And he goes, oh, we're going to go abseiling. And I was like, okay, not really into this, but yeah, fine. Mm-hmm. He was my boss, and it was like the second week I was there. And so I thought, yeah, I'll do it. I went up, and it was just me and him. And he goes, right, so for my like level, whatever qualification, I have to like tie the ropes up and like, get ready and stuff, and then go for it. And he literally did. First thing he does is puts this rope around this like quite big tree and ties this knot and tugs it to check it's safe, and it just comes loose. It's like... And at that point, I was already nervous. And at that point, I was like, there is absolutely no way I'm going. I'm absolutely this. And so he got me all the way to like, he rigged it all up again. He put in like different knots and stuff and tugged them all. They all looked fine. But I was just like, there is absolutely no way I'm going down this. So he got me all the way into like a harness and everything and all the way to the edge of the thing. And I was just like, I'm not going down. Like, I'm not having it. I've abseiled before. And I abseiled since then. But as soon as somebody shows me they can't tie a knot, it's like, yeah. I'm not going down here.
It's a bit of a red flag. Was there like a trainer or an instructor there?
Wild west of death.
Seems like a bit of a thing just to be like, yeah, no, I did it. Give me my level one or whatever it is.
Yeah. Abseiling. I don't know how the accreditation system works for abseiling, but it feels like it could be pretty lax.
Sounds like it.
So yeah. Now I'm not desperate to go abseiling again. Don't think I'm really given the option very often these days.
Yeah, it's not really a part of everyday life.
No. If you could, would you abseil from the office each day?
Yeah.
You know what I wish there was more of?
Rappel.
Fireman poles.
Yeah. Gravity.
Firefighter poles, sorry.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I have a friend who's a firefighter, and every time he corrects me, firefighter. I'm like,
It is a better name.
It is.
It sounds more impressive.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know if he... I think
fire destroyers.
And now all he does is drive the command unit. He doesn't really get
a big part of it. Yeah. That much.
I do find it funny though, because he's easily one of the most terrifying drivers I know, and now he drives his command unit around. And I'm like, if there are sirens, you know, I used to be like quite cautious about getting out of the way and making sure I was out of the way of if I was driving, if I heard sirens. Now, it's like
they'll put you out of the
park
way.
My car, get out of the way, and still I'll be terrified if it's a fire engine coming up behind me. It's like if there is some major incident in the city, I'm not going on the road.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Yeah, well, they got to get where they're going by any means. Well, let's get into the percentage game. Lou's got five questions for us.
They did you win? You won last time.
Yes.
No.
Oh. No, I think I won last time. It was on the last question, though.
Oh. Yeah. Well, then. Oh, yeah, because we had that weird draw.
Yeah. It wasn't a draw.
It wasn't.
I listened back to it, and it's that was my favorite line of that whole episode. Thank you for explaining that. It's like numbers.
Well,
thank you for explaining how numeracy works. I'll explain it again if you want.
Go for it.
The whole episode. Do you want me to explain the actual how the game works?
The percentage game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The percentage game. We have five questions that have been asked to teams from around our quizzes over the last few weeks. Louis picked out five of them to ask to us. And what we're going to do is try and work out the answers together, cooperatively, and then go head to head in the percentage game of guessing what percentage of teams got each question correct. Whoever's closest to the correct percentage gets 2 points. Whoever's furthest away gets 1 point. We do five of them, and then we see who wins.
All right, five questions. We've got whiteboards, we've got pens.
People can play along at home. I forgot to say that.
People play along at home. You've got permission now. You've been waiting this long for the all clear. Go. Okay, question one. People's car is the literal translation of which brand? People's car. Which brand?
I think I know.
People's car.
Yeah.
Car brand.
Jaguar.
Probably a car brand, yeah.
Okay.
Jaguar.
It might be Jaguar. It's probably not.
I mean, it would be.
That's probably named after the animal.
It would also be a great coincidence if it was Jaguar. Or.
Oh, the animal.
Rover? Do you know Rover?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't know if they were a brand in Australia like when you were growing up or anything.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. They're a British brand.
Yeah.
Rover. Don't know if they exist anymore. I don't think it's Rover.
Datsun.
I also don't think it's Rolls Royce. No. Should we run around through them all before we get to it?
Nissan. Not that one.
Is that how you say?
No, I say Nissan.
All right, sweet. I had to double check there. Because you do say, what's the one, like the blue car that has 888 on the side of it usually? Blue, it's a rally car. There's a lot of them around. I kind of want to say it because I don't want to.
Subaru.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know that?
Subaru.
You say that like that?
Yeah.
You know that's said differently in New Zealand?
Is it?
They say Subaru, and they advertise it like that as well, which I find like it like grates me that. It's like, no, just teach them how to say it right. don't change your advertising for these people. And
then, yeah.
I don't think it's Subaru either.
It's like Hyundai.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Hyundai?
Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Yeah. I think it's Volkswagen.
I think it's Volkswagen as well. Just to get
the Volkswagen. Is that what it is?
Oh, are we going to lock in?
Should we lock it in?
Lock in.
Touch hands.
Beep, boop.
Correct.
Yes.
V-dubs. PC, the people's car.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of teams got it correct?
Although, funnily enough, Ford has recently gone for the people's Ford.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's their kind of slogan. People Ford.
People's Ford. It's interesting.
Like the people's elbow. Similar.
Audi means listen.
That seems fair.
Okay.
Is like that, audio.
Are they the ones that do the ad where it's like tap, tap, tap? Audi.
No.
Is that them?
That's Bentley.
Ah.
Volvo means I roll. Fiat.
Sorry. I roll, not like. I'm slightly disgusted at this.
Oh.
I roll. Oh. I really enjoy it. That's what Volvo did mean, though. Oh, he's got a Volvo.
Ooh.
I remember, I think there's like this website that used to be like, here's all these unknown facts that no one knows. And one of them was like, it used to be called the Joy Through Love Wagon, something, or translated from that or something. And that was always on these lists. So I remember that. Right. Percentage.
3, 2, 1, go.
Ooh.
Right.
That's a good logo. That's a good version of it.
Thanks. I drew the People's Wagons logo.
Goose, your number?
92.
92. Scott?
83.
83. 83 and 92. It is Out with, not betwixt.
It better not be lower. That people surely know that.
I can tell you exactly. 94% of people got it correct. So Goose wins question numero one.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good.
Fiat means let it be done. But that's the name's an acronym.
Oh, right. I was going to say that feels like a short word for quite a long phrase.
Fiat.
Yeah, then everything else is named after the people that founded it. Oh.
Alfa and Romeo.
Ferrari.
Yes, because one of the Ferrari guys was there. At one of the Formula One events. And he basically just won Le Mans. And the reporter was like, oh, it's great you've won Le Mans. And he just goes, yeah, but it's all about Formula One, isn't it? It's like, wow. Oh. Way to belittle your person that's just won this 24-hour race.
Absolute downer.
And Ferrari, I think, have dominated that for a while. And it's just like, okay, so Ferrari are the best at this. And then he's at the Formula One event. And then he goes, don't really care about it, though, do I? It's like, it's one of the Triple Crowns.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it made me laugh a lot. It's a real shame. But who else?
Suzuki is probably someone's name, right?
I'd imagine so. Honda. Toyota. Kia, maybe not someone's name.
Maybe. I don't know.
Kia's got a cool new logo recently. The past few years. And it looks like it says KV, but it's actually, or KN, I think it looks like. Yeah. It doesn't look like Kia anymore, but obviously you do know it's Kia because it's all the letters are sort of merged together. And I'm a little bit like, you maybe over-designed this slightly, but they do have nice cars.
Kia roughly translates from rising from East Asia.
Rising.
Yeah.
Kia.
Yeah.
I feel like when people do these translations, they know that no one will ever check, so they just say whatever they really want it to mean. Rising from East. Is that what it says?
Asia.
Sorry. Rising from East Asia.
Ah, specifically that, not rising, and it's from East Asia.
Oh, no, it is.
Right, okay.
Rising from East Asia. That's oddly full specific. Stop.
That's also a very short word for that.
Cool. Well, that's the magic of the Korean language.
That's what they say?
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Kia. You seen Futurama?
Bits and pieces.
Have you seen the Thing longer episode? No.
The what?
We'll talk about it in a second. Question two. Finish off the name of this 1843 short story by Edgar Allan Poe with a telltale... What's the missing word?
The telltale... Do you know?
I think so. Honestly, yeah, you get
Oh, wait. Right. Edgar Allan Poe like crows. The telltale crow? No. Raven? No. Clock? No. Clock? House? Shoe? Is it a fairy tale?
No.
Short story?
Yeah.
Short stories aren't like fairy tales. It's not like going to be a witch or a gingerbread house.
Probably not.
Edgar Allan Poe doesn't also seem that keen on those kind of things.
I don't think I've ever read anything or heard any stories except from The Simpsons.
Yeah, that is exactly how I know Edgar Allan Poe is from The Simpsons. Nevermore, he did as well. That was his, like...
Yes.
A phrase that
Quote the crow.
Crow. Did I say any of them that you thought it was?
I think it's something anatomy-based.
Telltale tongue. Toe. Foot. Hand. Heart.
I think it's telltale heart.
Yes, I agree.
Lock it in.
Lock in.
Locked in. Touch feet. Touch Correct. Hands. The telltale heart.
I can't tell you anything about it though. That's the Raven one, right?
Yeah. So the narrator kills someone that they live with, and they think they can hear the heart, and they're worried it's going to give away the location.
Right.
And the Raven that says Nevermore is one of his. The Fall of House Usher. The Pit and the Pendulum. The Mask of the Red Death. But yeah, they're both in the Simpsons, the Telltale Heart and the Raven, the Crow.
Right. Or is the Raven that's a different one?
I think so.
Oh. It's just not, it doesn't entice me to want to read them.
The Telltale Bart, that's probably what the episode's
for
called.
Sure.
It's
for
a poem. Sure. Sorry, the Raven.
Poem. Okay.
By Edgar Allan Poe as well.
Yeah.
Talented person.
That's it. So yeah, what percentage of teams got that correct? He married his cousin. if that influences your number.
As it was the thing to do at the time.
It's like, it's the Telltale Heart. It's like, don't.
When was that? Cousin? 1800s.
Yeah, 1840, I think.
Less people back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some level, less choice.
Yeah, you don't do it by accident, though.
No Tinder or anything.
3, 2, 1, turn. Well, Goose, you've said
87%.
Scott?
79%.
79%. Okay. So, 79, 87. This one came out at 57%.
Oh,
so you're both kind of far away, but Scott is the closer of the two.
I just thought people would have known that, probably, because I don't think... I mean, I'm not saying you're bad at this, but I know I'm bad at literature stuff.
Yeah.
I've never felt either of us are particularly versed.
I don't think it's my strong point. No.
So as soon as we get one, I think it will be high, because if we know it, surely everyone else knows it.
People should know it, yeah. 57.
Ah, that's quite low for that. Oh. I don't know what other people would think it would be.
I guess like 50% of us knew it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But then I wouldn't convince you to say not the answer you think it is.
Yeah. I was pretty convinced.
Yeah. As soon as you said it, it made sense to me.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I think you would hear. So I'm surprised. Maybe we have too many arrogant people that come to our quizzes.
I think it's also like a phrase. Is it a phrase?
What?
Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
And not one that I would know well.
Oh. Or maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just a reference. Ah. All right, well, again, another victory to me, another ad.
Come see Goose's Quizzes in person at an IRL quiz. Visit goosesquizzes.com and click on the quiz map to find a quiz.
Question three. The national flags of Belgium, Estonia, and Egypt all contain which color? Estonia. Egypt.
Do you know the Egyptian flag? Do you know the Belgian flag first?
Belgian is black, red, and yellow.
Yeah, I think it is. So then Estonia is the one I'm less confident about. Egypt, I think, is red, green, and black.
Right. Because I was going to say Estonia, I feel, is blue and yellow.
And that's Ukraine, I think you're thinking of.
Right.
Estonia, I think, is potentially black and blue. So I think it's black in all of them.
Okay. I can't picture the Egypt. Did you say green, red, and black?
Green, red, and black, I think, is Egypt.
I was thinking green, red, and black.
So I think it's black in all of them.
Black.
Should we lock in black?
Lock it in.
Lock in.
Okay, touch noses.
Oh.
Black is correct.
Yay.
Yes. Black.
Was I right? Black and blue for Estonia?
Yeah, I think so. I think Estonia is the only... and white as well.
Right now I know which one it is. Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think Estonia is the only country in the world that has... No, Estonia and Botswana are the only two countries in the world that have blue and black.
In their
flags, yeah.
And...
that's probably the only link between those two countries.
There's also a real low percentage of ones that have red, isn't there? Like, sorry, that don't have red. So many countries have red in their flag.
Yeah, pretty much everything's red, white, and blue.
Yeah, majority's that, isn't it?
Is it because, like, sky and sea? Or, like, sky and, like, land? I don't know.
Fire. Blood.
Well, yeah, red often, like, represents war, doesn't it?
Yeah.
People often put that on their flags.
Maybe they were like more readily available colors then.
I thought that was a pun.
Yeah.
You know, originally,
blue.
I found out something a while back. I thought it was on a podcast. You know, originally, the Pride flag had pink on it. and then it's been removed. Not because of anything. It's like, it's just a really hard color to print.
Yeah.
So like, it was just becoming really expensive to make pride flags with pink on them. So they just removed the pink. I find that like, there's something weird about like that thought where it's like originally it was this thing, but actually because of manufacturing, no pink on this.
Yeah. I think it's one of the more modern colors. I think it's quite difficult to get to.
I think fabric wise, yeah, it's quite tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found that quite interesting that pride flag doesn't have pink on it. Right, percentage. What was it? Black. Okay, right.
Yeah, black, Belgium, Estonia, and Egypt.
And what was the question? They all have that color.
Yeah, what color is shared by all them flags?
People like flags.
Mm.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Turn.
Ooh.
Okay. Goose, you've said
71%.
Scott, you've said
81%.
81%. One of you is bang on.
I originally went for 61%. So, Ooh. Yeah. I think it could be Scott, to be honest. I think it's probably higher than I think it is.
Okay, a 71 and 81. This one came out at 71%. Wow. That's how numbers work.
That's number one right there.
71.
Oh, good.
Hey, I've had a one-off and spot on today. It might be going my way today.
Close. Two off.
Was I two off?
Yeah.
Or did I write 92 and it was 94?
Mm.
Ah, right. Sorry, everyone. Misrepresenting.
Take it back.
I take it back.
Good. We've got some of the last fringe messages to listen to from our good fringe show. So it's Monday, so no elimination game tonight.
And I bloody hate it. I miss it so much. I just want to be back there in the Spiegel tent.
Nice quick one.
Who was that?
Do you remember where you were when you did that?
Yeah, I was at the Cali Sample Room hosting a quiz.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's...
Monday nights.
And Thursday nights.
And Thursday nights, but I was there on a Monday night in that voice message.
So. Do you remember running the Cali when it was you and Hannah had the different quizzes on the different nights? And
yeah.
Sort of like, oh, are you going to a Scott one or are you going to a Hannah one?
Yeah.
Were you the Monday night one?
Yeah.
No, Scott, the original one. We took a couple of Mondays off in the Fringe. Which I think was for the best.
I think it was smart.
I think it was smart.
Yeah.
I think we would have. Although, saying that, I found the Tuesdays after taking the Monday off way harder.
Oh, yeah?
Getting back into it was way harder than I think if we just carried on going through. I found it so difficult getting back and like into the rhythm, everything. But that was just me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was good to have off. I think get a little breather, give people a chance to miss us, you know.
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed this one as well.
Okay, two nights to record last night. Tuesday, little tech hiccup at the start. Laptop wouldn't play sound. Something wasn't working with the pad. We were saved by the venue staff, the sound staff, who put things together pretty quickly, and I think we had a good night overall. We sort of fed into that manic energy, and it was quite fun, chaotic for a Tuesday night. And then tonight, Wednesday, good crowd again, pretty good numbers for the middle of the week. A man brought his trombone to the show. It was in a case, and I asked him very nicely if he would play the sad trombone music when people went out, and he said maybe next time. So, you know, in the future we can get a sort of a live trombonist for the sad wow wow, but not tonight. Only a handful of nights left. Let's go.
Louis' let's go at the end did not sound like he was let's that go. Pumped for let's go.
I didn't think anyone was going to listen beyond a minute.
That trombone, I didn't know about that. How did I not know that there was a trombone in our...
He smiled it in.
In the room, and we didn't get him to do it.
Yeah,
I tried.
I'd have gone on the mic, been like, right, there's someone with a trombone here, and I need to play it.
Blow it.
It's like, if you have a tuba, we also need that.
Yeah. If anyone else here has a pocket harmonica or something.
Yeah. We didn't have much of, like, outside random performance or anything like that, apart from the woman on this, was it the second night? And she stood outside
Oh, yeah.
The very, very intoxicated woman.
Oh.
Who was extremely singing? Loud, who I had yeah. to, I ended up having to say to her, like, you can have, like, I have a microphone and a huge sound system and you're still louder than me. This is not how it's meant to be.
She was the one that was insistent that it was different answers to what the correct answers were because she was a geography teacher.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, she was also had this come with funny. What was meant to be like a, like he was like a producer or something
oh.
and had come to the show and she was part of that group. So it was a little bit like, have to be as nice as possible to these people without letting her basically derail the show. So
maybe it was a stitch up.
Maybe.
Just to see how he dealt with things.
Mm. Yeah. It was, I don't think it was though, because I was outside the venue for quite a while after having a few drinks and they were definitely doing the same. Like very much so. So I think it was probably just natural.
Yeah, fair enough. And then this is the last one, again from Louis.
Okay, that's us done. Last night, the Fringe over. I'm just about home now. It's been the last night itself was really good. It was nice to catch up with the hosts who've been helping out flyering over the course of the month. And the crowd were great. It was really busy for the final Sunday. Over 100 people there, and it really caps off a special month. It's sort of bittersweet now. It's always hard going back to everyday life after something like that. You know, I think we've all got very professional, educated, affluent friends who do serious jobs, but there's something really heartwarming and special about putting on events and nights like that, and you get to see how much people enjoy what you do and what you put on. And it's going to be a really special month. It feels like a high watermark for us and what we've done. And on to bigger and better things now, hopefully. Fringe done, finished, complete.
Breezy.
I know. Why are you blowing in the mic so much?
It's windy.
Where are you running?
In this undisclosed location I live.
Did you do that from home?
Probably in the after the train.
Oh, fair.
Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
Sounded like there was like a truck or something in the background unloading or whatever.
Yeah, oh, someone, okay. Someone will pinpoint that. That guy that does
If I get murdered, you guys are on the case.
Trucks are everywhere.
I'll be honest. It's probably Louis said something to somebody. not cared enough. Not shown enough care in his tone. That's the reason. Oh, that was nice. I like that.
Yeah, a little wrap up.
I agree with what you say, though. People have odd or fairly straightforward jobs, and we have jobs where we get to see, you know, the fruits of our labor straight away. It's quite nice.
Yep, good. You meet a bunch of people. Some have trombones, some don't. I googled trombone, and it just gave me. Is that one of the instruments you get on the Wii?
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. All I can picture is him as trombone, like a Wii trombone.
Like Wii, like Nintendo, just to be clear. Not like Wii as in little. Right. You know, a Wii trombone.
Okay.
All it reminds me of, the trombone all reminds me of this song that we used to do. Actually, Louis, I don't know if this would be something you'd do as a family. We had a song that was called The Wii Melody Man, and it was like a party game. And you sing this song, which goes, I'm the wee melody man, the rumpty tumpty toady man, trying to do the best I can to follow the wee melody man. And you just sing it over and over again. But somebody goes out of the room, and the rest of the group, it's like a parlor game, the rest of the group decide one person who's like the melody man, and they, which I think is melody man, but just Scottish. And so I've only ever just thought about that. Yeah. And they would pretend to play an instrument, and then everyone would have to follow them. And then the person that came back in the room had to try and figure out who it was that was leading the instrument changes. So, and then trombone was always one of the ones that came out because obviously it's an easy one to sign to like show that I'm a trombone player.
Yeah.
Piano, harp. And then the best thing is someone would do something that was really obscure and then the rest of the room had to try and like copy this obscure motion that someone was doing without looking like they were just staring at them. It was great. Huh. Piano was an easy one. Trombone.
This is a good audio feature. Yeah.
I was going to say, we're not going to play it.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah, yes. He's got the big five instruments already.
So. I was thinking of Trombone Champ. There was a new game.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Because I keep on hearing, what's the song? Yeah, it's, and I missed you. What's that?
Vanessa Carlton.
Yes, a thousand miles. I keep on hearing that on that trombone champ.
Yeah. It looks like a great game.
It does look like a great game. It's on Wii. No, it's on Switch.
Switch.
Yeah, I don't think they make new
Well, games Switch is there. We can we could play this.
Get it on.
Now I just can't not think of this that little sting being in trombone.
Question 4. Which actor was a runner-up at the 79 Le Mans 24-hour endurance race?
Oh, which, what year, shall you say?
1979.
The only actor I could think of being like cool and sort of into cars and good at that kind of thing is like Steve McQueen. But I thought that was longer ago he was sort of big.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Immediately my head was like Sean Connery.
Ooh. Yeah, but then I don't know if he was big into cars.
Yeah, I don't know either.
He was Bond, obviously, but like, yeah, I don't know. This is going to be a total guess for me. I have no kind of...
Oh, we're going to get two different answers.
We could do. We've never done that before, have we?
Rivals.
How about if we give two answers, you tell us one of those is correct, and then we'll lock in one of them? I think mine would go with Steve McQueen. That's just who my head went to straight away.
Yeah, I mean, that makes more sense, right? Lightning McQueen.
I don't know when he died. After him. I don't know when he died, though.
I have no idea. Was it The Great Escape? Like the 30s or something?
No. It was... Do you know what The Great Escape was about?
People escaping prison.
What prison?
I don't know.
A prisoner of war in World War II.
Oh, okay.
it'd be great foresight if it was like.
Right,
imagine there's a Second World War, and then everyone called the First World War the First World War.
This is how they do it.
it'd be seen as an act of cynicism if you were like pre World War II. Sorry, just really laughing at the thought of someone imagining prisoner of war camps and like. Right, sorry. I think it came out in the... I think it probably came out in the 60s.
Okay.
The Great Escape.
Yeah, well, that timeline adds up. We can go for that.
Right, I'm going to go Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
Lock in.
Oh, I thought you were going for a different answer each.
Oh, sorry. Were we wrong?
Who played Gandalf?
Ian McKellen.
Him.
Christopher Lee.
Right. No.
Can we keep just guessing? Tom Cruise.
No, we've mentioned him recently for a different answer, I think.
In this podcast?
Yeah.
Today?
No.
Ah.
Wait, sorry. I said in this podcast, and you said yes. And you said today, and then... No,
this podcast.
Did you mean in this podcast?
Not like, this episode.
In totality. Recently for a different episode. Emilio Estevez? Nope. Oh, Michael Douglas.
Answer.
We referenced him in reference to eating 100 eggs.
Paul Newman?
Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Can drive?
Drive, Ken eats eggs. What a package.
There's a, you know, there's a sort of, it's called like the, did we talk about this in the podcast? The Royal Crown. No, what's it called? The Three.
Triple Crown. I looked up.
Yeah, the Triple Crown. That's such an interesting thing. But there's two people have done it.
Two people have done it.
Two people are doing two of them, but not the third one.
Yes. I think Fernando Alonso is one of them.
Yes. And is it Mansell? Or Hill? Damon Hill?
Maybe. Yeah, the Triple Crown, Le Mans, Formula One, Rainbow Road.
Yeah, that's it.
Nope. No one has won all three Triple Crown races.
That would be great if it was Rainbow Road. And it's just someone sitting on their Switch just like, damn it, still not got it. I've even put the sides on.
Put on the trumpet game.
I'll just play the trombone game a little bit just to ease my nerves.
Just to take the edge off.
4 hours later.
I got an answer.
Okay, Paulie Newman. PN. 3-2-1 turn.
Oh. We've done this quite a lot today. It feels like we put the same percentage 10% away. Yeah. Here we go.
All right, well, you've put...
24%.
And Scott?
34%.
34%. We've not even discussed his salad dressing.
Paul Newman salad dressing.
Yeah, for two references and none of that towards salad dressing. 27 is the answer.
Ah.
So that means the Goose is closest.
Thank you.
Just.
Thank you all.
Scott, you're a little bit further away.
Well, not my day.
Hey. Wow.
Not my episode.
Which means into the final question. Goose is winning.
Yeah. Not really much I can do to claw that back.
Unless he doesn't answer the final one.
But they just not get points for that. Surely that goes down as a zero.
For what? If you don't answer?
What, if I don't give a percentage?
Try. If you put minus.
Try it and see.
I could put, but then I'd still get second place.
Oh, yeah. He's done the numbers. yeah, so final one, question five. What is the scaly anteater commonly known as?
Oh, I asked this at a quiz the other day.
Oh. Scaly anteater.
Yeah. At Halloween, it's the scary anteater.
Whoa.
This is one of these words that I forget exists until I hear it again and go, that's hilarious. It just makes me laugh every time I hear it.
So you know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Scaly anteater. Aardvarks aren't scaly.
Was that what Arthur was? An aardvark.
Yeah.
He said, hey.
I know what the... I think if you said it, I'd say yes.
Was it not part of the controversy over... I think it was involved in the start of the coronavirus, like,
oh,
chat. I think these were
that.
Yeah, that's the one. They're scaly anteaters.
I can't think of the word. Sandshrew. Nah, it's Pokemon.
Close,
but close.
You can picture it.
It looks like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Is that the Pokemon it looks like?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. I'd give Scott a point.
I can't think of the name.
That is wrong to give
a point. Why can't I think of the name? What does it start with?
It sounds like a country's, people from a country name. Like, as in, it sounds like it would be the name for people from a country.
Yeah, I get it.
If there was a country that had this, like, start of the name. Which makes it, I've not thought about that before, but it does sound like that. And I don't know why they've named that animal like this, but not really any others.
Nah, as soon as you say it, I'll know, but I can't.
I think it's Pangolian.
Yes, Pangolin.
As in, like, as if someone was from Pan.
From Pangola.
Like, oh, this place called Pan, yeah. And they're Pangolian. Like,
yeah.
Correct, a pangolin.
Pangolian.
Pangolin?
Pangolin.
Pangolin.
Yeah.
It's not Pangolian.
No.
It's not.
No.
I've been saying this wrong forever.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. It's definitely not Pangolian.
This is the Kashunut problem.
I wondered where you're going with.
Yeah.
Your
Pangolin.
Pangolin.
Well, yeah. I said that wrong at the quiz then as well.
Embarrassing.
Really?
And I've said that wrong for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it looks like a sand shrew.
Yeah.
Pangolin.
Bit more aggressive though.
It feels like that's how it feels like Benedict Cumberbatch would struggle saying that animal as well.
Pangolin, the name comes from Malay for the one who rolls up, like sorry. Wiz Khalifa.
Yep.
An insectivore that can grow up to 4.5 feet long.
That's huge.
It's a big boy.
Yeah.
And their scales are made of keratin, so strong even a lion can bite through them.
Nice.
So do you think they run away when lions come close to them, or do you think they're just like, I don't care?
They just roll up.
Roll away.
Yeah.
Roll up, boys.
I bet you they got a real soft tummy.
That's what the lions sing.
And they can release a strong smelling spray to deter predators.
Huh.
I mean, we can all try.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can do that.
The only mammal with scales.
Is that right?
Apparently.
Oh, wow. I never thought about scales and who has them. What has them, I suppose.
Fish.
Yes.
Some fish.
I feel like they're not like...
It's not all of them.
They're not like scales like these scales. What they've got is like I don't know.
Armor.
Little armor, yeah.
Chainmail.
Armadillo.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, Pangolian. What percentage of teams know they're heavily armored stinkers?
Pangolian.
Pangolin.
Pangolin.
You said Pangolian, right?
I know.
Oh, right. Just double checking I'm not going crazy here. Wait a second. I've not written down anything.
P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N. Pangolin. What percentage of teams?
I'm good.
3-2-1 turn. Right. Goose, you've said?
32%.
32. And Scott?
I said 45.
45. Oh, there's only 1% between you.
Whoa.
It came out at 39%.
Ah.
No, that's good.
That means it's you.
Yeah.
What'd you put?
32. Ah, I thought you put 37.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No. My twos and sevens aren't great.
32%, 45. Yeah. So you're 6% away, Scott, and you redeem yourself in the final one.
Ka-chow.
Strong.
Roll out.
That was a bit of back and forth.
Yeah. Some percentage football.
Some tight ones.
Yeah. Counter-attacking.
Yeah.
Paré, riposte, mm-hmm. and such.
Repel. Do we talk about abseiling?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On this podcast?
What's the difference between repelling and abseiling? Is one of them you go forwards, do you think?
I don't know.
Or is repelling when you don't have to be touching something to be going down?
Maybe. Maybe it's like what you're... Do you abseil off buildings? Or do you rappel off buildings?
Oh, maybe.
Ooh.
Do you rappel off rock?
You'd rappel, I would say, from like a helicopter. Rappelling.
Yeah?
You're thinking of propellers.
I can't remember who it was. There was some program or something that I found where they were testing abseiling out of helicopters to drop soldiers into areas where the helicopter couldn't land. And six of them would go out at the same time, and three would jump out from either side, but they realized if they got too much rope straight away, they just crash into each other below the helicopter. And the way the downdraft worked, it would just push them into each other. And I just find something really funny about that first time that happened. He'd be like, crap. Like, what's happening? Their rope's getting all tangled up, and it's like, you go, and I'll...
Yeah, nah.
I enjoy when it has to get to that stage for things to go wrong. Oh, we hadn't really thought about this, right? Mm. Cool, that's a problem.
And then your mate's there with these knots.
I just wish I'd filmed it to show you how little a tug it was that just came loose. Cool.
Yeah, one of those things you'd really want to be sure about.
Yeah, if you're going to show me your first knot, don't show me it just coming away. Well, that's a real shame. I did see a knot that I really want to learn, though. Knots is one of these things I want to learn some more of.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a knot where they use it to drop things down from... This is a bit like abseiling.
Yeah.
But drop things down. And so you have two ropes going to... Like, one rope, and you tie it to, like, a handle. Let's say, like... Well, the example they were showing was chainsaw.
Mm.
Tie it to handle. You drop it down and use one rope as a tension rope and the other rope to pull the knot. And then it comes away. And so you can lower things down and then pull the other rope... And it all comes away and nothing gets left behind and then you just take your rope away. I was like, that's really handy to know.
Yeah, I've seen one of those where like they are abseiling, I guess. And then as soon as the tension's left off, it just falls apart. So maybe that's what your mate was going for.
I would have put more tension in it then.
Okay, we can all learn our knots.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be our homework. Learn a knot, show it to the rest of the group.
Reef knot. That's what I'll go for.
Is reef knot not the one where you get two and they sort of interloop and then...
Do you think they've invented...
new knots?
Every knot possible?
Nah. They're always getting new knots.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I reckon they're all amalgamations of base ones though now.
Probably. I reckon it's someone's job to make new knots.
I mean, for what? and who is paying them? The Knot Association of America.
Who knows? It's like computer math problems.
Someone's paying people to do that.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason for that, though.
I reckon. All right. Let's call it.
Righto.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
See you all
Be
later.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is a big shout-out to all the Patreons that support the fundraising wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Catherine Andrews, Russ Kirk, the Canadian half of Hugo Le Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gatari, Icy Canuck, Joanna MUFC Fan, Just a Girl in the USA, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.